In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
Kind of scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. We welcome back to the show returning guest Harry Hubbard, who had produced a series of videos titled CCP Parts 1 through 6. The video series is a deep dive into numerous books with publishing dates from 1890 that all reference a diabolical hidden hand of control in the United States. Titles include The Iron Curtain Over America by John Beatty, The Secrets of the Federal Reserve by Eustace Mullins, Know Your Enemies by Jack Moore, Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley, The Secret Team, the CIA and its allies in control of the United States and the world, My Life in Christ by Eustace Mullins, and Masters of Deceit, The Story of Communism in America and How to Fight It by J. Edgar Hoover. Harry Hubbard is a researcher and collector of rare books, maps, artifacts, and currency. We've done several shows in the past, including exploring books and maps about the Hollow Earth back in 2015. Harry joins us now to talk about his video series titled CCP. Harry, welcome back to Another News.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Jeff.
This is an interesting video series referencing your collectible books and archives to show viewers how numerous authors gave fair warning to their readers about the plans of sinister forces to covertly attack real Christianity, quality public education, and healthy economies while creating war and building police states. This well-funded covert threat has been in the works for a long time. We're going to take a look at some of the quotes in your referenced books, but before we do that, would you tell listeners, please, about some of the reasons why you produced this video series titled Chinese Communist Party? Well, you title it CCP.
That was a play on words. It was real hard to figure out what to name it, what to call it, because I didn't want to get my channel banned from YouTube, and I didn't want the AI to just be smearing all over me, which they do anyway. So it took me a while to make it. It actually is titled Control, Chaos, and Power, which is the initial CCP. I started putting my outlines together last fall. As I did it, I was slowly approaching it. I had to read 6 book feet again. And these are books that I've had for 20, 30 years or more, and just trying to put some together, because I never showed any of these books to anybody. I've got a couple of videos where I show certain piles of books that I've got concerning certain topics, but how do you say, okay, I've got 6 feet of conspiracy books, but they're not really conspiracy, they are actually history books. And putting them all together, and I had to reread all of those books and then do my annotations, my underlining, and then I knew what I wanted to come across with, and then I started putting my outline together. I started building my subjects and how I wanted to flow, and I'm always moving backwards, and I didn't really know where to start the series. So I started in 1966. And then I went back to 1945, and then I go back to 1890, and then come back up to 1928, and into the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and then I start coming up in chronological order. But to get some kind of grounding and solid base to pontificate from, for lack of a better word, I had to start somewhere, and I started right in the middle, which was the 1960s. And I come up all the way to the early 90s, and I don't have anything from the 2000s. I could have featured a couple of books from the 2000s, but I didn't.
Well, past guest author Kent Bain recently posted an entry on his site titled No Country for Old Men. He writes, quote, "The truth is that no matter which candidate triumphs in the presidential election, the cryptocracy, the multinational corporations, central banks, and their controlling interests will be the big winners. And the American people, all of them, Democrat, Republican, Independent, and everybody in between will be the losers. The elite control the chessboard, and no matter which alleged pedophile emerges victorious, they will be animated by forces unseen. Ultimately, it's all theater, and while we stare transfixed at the Fox, CNN, MSNBC polls, the world is being set afire. Well, this isn't far away from what author Eustace Mullins refers to in his books, but the quote you read from the 1971 book Legacy of the Melting Pot by Drew Smith is nearly identical to what Kent says in his blog post. This was written half a century ago. Quote, "It has in short become obvious that neither of the major parties intend to do anything that will really cure most of our deep-seated troubles. It isn't too late to begin these programs for the resuscitation and strengthening of America. However, the time is short and quick action must be taken." What are your thoughts on this? Can you recall significant pivotal moments when, given the opportunity, things went in the wrong direction in this country? And is it too late to take action?
Some people might think so, but I maintain a degree of hope. I don't put much credit into the quote-unquote Q movement because, for me, Q has been wrong too many times, way too many times. I don't think that that's the grassroots movement that we're looking for, but I do believe that people are waking up, and with the big three or four television news networks kind of getting just knocked out. People aren't watching that anymore. People are getting their news from videos like mine, shows like yours, other conservative-type programs on the Internet, and that's good. People are being able to see for themselves that, hey, there's two sides to that coin, and just the way that they bait and switch, and then the way that they have their agenda. It's like somebody just quoted recently that there are no news outlets anymore. There's just agendas and platforms. They don't report news. I check out CNN's website, you know, every day just to see what they've got in the headlines. And a lot of the things that they post as headlines really aren't interesting or headlines at all. Tricky the dog almost dies in a swimming pool accident. You know, I consider, you know, news. And there's so many things that they're reporting on that is not news. And while at the same time, they are not reporting on news that's actual news.
This is part of the issue, and Edward Bernays gets into this in his book titled Propaganda, published in 1928. We'll touch upon that. But I agree, the corporate-owned media outlets, everyone knows there's a stark agenda, very clear and present, more clear and present since President Trump has taken office in the nonstop campaign against him. And that's quite fascinating, I'm sure, for the populace of this country to witness.
Well, people have short memories, basically, and everyone forgets that all these people that are opposing Trump, he supported them for decades. Jerry Nadler, Chuckie Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and on and on and on, all of these Democrats, and he supported Republicans too, bad ones, good ones and bad ones. And that was the longest escalator ride in history. He went from being America's number one reality show hero, wealthy real estate broker, blah, blah, wolf, wolf. By the time he hit the bottom, he became a misogynist, racist, a homophobe, a white supremacist, all this stuff that he never, ever was at the top of the escalator. By the time he hit the bottom, he was and hated by the same people whom he put in office. I mean, a lot of these people would not have gotten into office and been there forever had he not. He helped them out. He helped put them there. And so just people that need to understand and not forget that. Even the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons. And he supported these guys' groups, coalitions, whatever you want to call them, for decades. But no, now he's just the worst guy in the world. But he wasn't. And even people that don't like him now, well, they used to like him. They used to not have a problem with it, but boy, now they do.
And I find that interesting, especially in the context of your video series that you posted titled CCP. It's on your YouTube channel, Harry Hubbard. You reference three texts: Brainwashing, a synthesis on the Russian textbook on psychopolitics pamphlet, that's from January 1950, And the short write-up on that is psychopolitics is the art of capturing the minds of a nation through brainwashing and fake mental health, the subjection of the whole nations of people to the rule of the Kremlin by the capturing of their minds. The second book is Propaganda by Edward Bernays, published in 1928. And the third book is Operation Mind Control by Walter Bowart, 1978. The propaganda and methods to divide and polarize the minds of the populace right now have been very, very effective.
Very effective. That's the key. It worked. Everything that I show in these books and what they were doing, what they were laying the groundwork, and I kind of wanted to show the deep state, because I mean I've been a fan of Chip Tatum for decades, and I kind of wanted to use some of his material because he was our AIC insider man, and I kind of wanted to show the deep state how deep the deep domain actually was, and how they are putting all my books together, and then going back in time and showing how they got that big, how they got that deep. Where did this deep state come from? You know, who wrote the book on it? You know, and then you see Dulles Brothers, all the CIA was in on it, the FBI, Jedgar was in on it. Jedgar's my name for J. Edgar. So, and these were the building blocks, and we are seeing now today the sons and daughters of these same people that were creating all this stuff decades ago. There's a lot of the people that I mentioned in these old books from the 50s, 40s, 60s, 70s that their sons and daughters are in politics today, or are already lawyers or in the intelligence community. And what gets me is in our modern day politics, the last run in 2018, people elected like 18 retired or former CIA, FBI agents. That's the craziest thing you could do. And they all ran on a Democrat ticket because they were communists. And that's the whole key of the CIA, is to get rid of Christianity and usher in communism and do it by any means necessary. That is the whole key. The CIA exists to completely bring down our freedom and subjugate everybody. And if you don't step in tune, boom, you get annihilated. You get assassinated.
That was written in a number of your books you present in the video series, and I've recently heard through commentary how the agency of Intelligence Central has a political polarity of left and right. Do you think that's true?
No, I don't believe it's true. They just lean politically left. There's no right. There's no balance there at all. Do you remember when it was just a few years ago when the CIA building got raided? There was a big shootout on the streets between the FBI and the CIA right there in downtown New York City, and they hushed it up. That was one of those deals, no news is good news, you know. I'm trying to think what year that was. It might have been in 15 or 16. And it was in a couple of news cycles for a few hours, and then they took it out. I saw it, I think, on Gateway Pundit or some other website, what was going on. And they yanked that out of the news. But they have inner battles between themselves, too. It's obvious. And I cover some of those old stories from time to time. But I don't think there's anyone that's right in that, because you can't be a conservative or Christian or anything like that. It's like Eustace Mullins says, is the more debauched or someone is, well, the better he's going to be for underworld shenanigans, so to speak.
That's a quote that you refer to in the book, My Life in Christ.
Possibly, yeah. I've used so many quotes, it's hard for me to remember them all. And it just seems to fit. I mean, and that's how come these people get away with everything that they do.
Let's hear some quotes you read from the 1928 book titled Propaganda by Edward Bernays. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we've never heard of. This is a logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. Vast numbers of human beings must cooperate in this manner if they are to live together as a smoothly functioning society. Our invisible governors are in many cases unaware of the identity of their fellow members, and you point out travelers, of the inner cabinet. We are dominated by the relatively small number of persons. A trifling faction of our 120 million who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pulled the wires which control the public mind, who harnessed old social forces and contrive new ways to bind and guide the world.
And that was written in 1928. Well, that's scary that they were even aware of that, that he was aware of that much of it.
Well, people say he was an insider, Edward Bernays, but to put this in this book in 1928, and this was probably the mid-1920s when he was putting it all together, imagine how far advanced things are today, Harry.
Yeah, yeah. It all came true. And that's the beginning of it. When what you see right there in Edward Bernays' book of 1928, the motion was already in place. The gears were spinning. The train was already on the track. They knew what they were going to do. But they knew time was on their side. They knew that the next generation of their own sons and daughters being educated at, be it Yale, Harvard, Dartmouth, Princeton, whatever, wherever, that with the secret societies, the clubs, the fraternities, and all the things that they could manipulate the minds of these of their own sons and daughters and create debauchery within their conscience and make them feel good about it. The more debauched you are, the better you feel about it. And these people walk among us now, and they can get triggered very easily, very easily. They're open about it now. They're wide open about all of it now. It all came forward, but when I start putting this together and doing my outline, and then boom, the pandemic just landed right in my lap. You know, just the scamdemic and this and that. I mean, I'm a mask wearer. I wear a mask every year from Thanksgiving to Easter because I don't want to catch the flu. And then now all of a sudden everybody is, you know, mandating masks and this and that. Well, I was 4 years ahead of that curve, that's for sure.
You're protecting yourself against airborne virus. You just don't want to get sick with the flu, but now it's a different story. The information has come out about Bill Gates, about Dr. Tedros, the WHO director, and the motives behind this pandemic, which they're saying is badly handled. It's being orchestrated intentionally like this. You know, talk about, you mentioned triggering people. Well, it's not very difficult to do, especially when you're talking about germs and wearing a mask and everyone is suspect. Very easy to do something like this. And we're in a perfect place for that level of manipulation. Not for long. But getting back to this realm of mind control, Harry, you read some quotes that you presented in your video from the 1978 book Operation Mind Control. I was hoping maybe that you could read some of what you presented in that video.
Well, it's all true. When these books came out, the CIA bought up a lot of them or banned them or did their best to get rid of them. Some of these books just are not available today. Some of the, like the brainwashing book, on and on. But anyway, one of the passages that you would like for me to take on here, I can't remember exactly what page it comes from. I like to give page numbers on everything. The CIA succeeded in developing a whole range of psycho weapons to expand its already ominous psychological warfare arsenal. With these capabilities, it was now possible to wage a new kind of war, a war which would take place invisibly upon the battlefield of the human mind. And I want to add there that in several of these books, they all talk about how the media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Associated Press, United Press International, all these companies, they were all in sync also with the CIA, and that's where how you get all of these talking points with all of all of the network television news outlets all saying the exact same thing verbatim on the same day at the same time. That's all put out by, given to them on their fax machine from the clown network. Picking up, the church and the state have always engaged in psychotheology and psychopolitics, the psychological manipulation of belief, opinion, and actions for political or and religious ends. But the complete control of the human mind was only managed in the late 1940s. Therefore, my research, we're talking to Boart, is concentrated on the period from 1938 to the present. The research is concentrated where he found there was an effort made by the agencies of the U.S. government to develop sophisticated techniques of psychopolitics and mind control. And they did it also with the drugs, too. And once you starve somebody, you put somebody in a dark room and you starve them and you make them thirst and you make them sit and sleep in their filth and in their nastiness. And then you say, okay, hey, man, if you do this and this and this, I'll give you food, water. You can have a hot shower. We'll give you some soap. You can get your hair cut, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Once you've just brought someone down psychologically lower than the ground, they're ready to get back up and do anything. They will do anything. And, you know, the difference, you know, people are fickle eaters. And I always say the difference between what you will eat and what you won't eat is 24 hours. After 24 hours, you'll be eating grass.
The sentence there, in the second paragraph that you read, the complete control of the human mind was only managed in the late 1940s. I wonder what he means by that, the complete control.
That kind of makes a head scratch up. Well, what did they do there? And I'm sure that they used some of Sigmund Freud's stuff and the sanitariums, too, of what they did in And it sheds a lot of light. This video series sheds a lot of light on sanitariums and basically what we call nut houses. And a lot of those people in there that are probably politically just dissident or some politician off, or I wonder how many conservative journalists are in the mental institutions today for no reason other than they spoke out. And I'm so happy and thankful every day that I'm not one of them. And I'm so thankful that I don't live in a city. I live out in the middle of nowhere. I live out in the sticks. It's a little bit more trouble. It's a lot more work. And some things are a little bit more expensive. But overall, it's a lot less expensive. In essence, I don't have to deal with riots, cars burning, businesses getting blown up, people getting shot at. And me and my neighbors were so fortunate. And sometimes I think we just forget that, how fortunate we are to live out here in the middle of nowhere. But I could have just as easily have been into that. What if if I had been in the military and say, you want to join this special program, you're going to get paid good money, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What they do is they just break your mind. They split your brain in half and put you under their control for the rest of your life. Once a judge, a preacher, an accountant, a sheriff deputy, a policeman, a police chief, a mayor, once they have been compromised, they are compromised for the rest of their life. Or even priests, my goodness. That's something I don't want to touch on. I don't want to touch on that. So,
we've definitely looked into that pretty deeply on this show with Nick Bryant, author of The Franklin Scandal, and the idea of blackmail, and that's all broken wide open in the corporate-owned media with Epstein scandal and Ghislaine Maxwell being arrested, because now most people are aware of the blackmail system through child trafficking or human trafficking.
I don't know. You say that they're aware of it. They may know about it, but we, people like me and you, we really don't understand just how dark it is. We don't know the level, the degree of debauchery because we don't think like that. We don't get our jollies by cutting somebody up to pieces and then pulling their heart out and then, you know, squirting it all over the room or whatever. We don't get our jollies like that. But people have gotten their jollies like that throughout history. And that's what we have to look at and see and understand. There's been so many blood cults and death worshipers. I am so glad that I'm not on the on the receiving end of it, you know. We're just very fortunate in that respect. But these people go on, they live their lives, and they, you see them on the sidewalk and you don't even know it. We don't know who they are. They're very secretive, and they have very secretive lives, but you may be friends with somebody for 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden find out, oh, man, he's a bloodsucker. You know, I mean, I didn't know that. You know, oh, J.J. got arrested for X. Child trafficking is something that I cover in one of my other series. It's considered livestock. Livestock. And some of the other things, too, about that have just come out concerning specifically certain slaughterhouses where the remains of actual humans go there and just get mixed in with the beef. How do we know? How do we know that the hamburger meat that we got is just pure beef? Could there be something else in that? Yeah, could be. Could be.
I've heard about that, and there was a rabbi that was really going on a rant about that decade ago regarding McDonald's. I thought you were going to talk about how the mafia or other organizations get rid of bodies by putting them into the hog farms, and the hogs just eat them.
Yeah, it's quite possible. Quite possible. I mean, they'll eat anything. But like I say, man, we don't get our jollies. We don't sit around all day trying to think of who we're going to kill next, just for our own debauchery. But a lot of people do. I guess there's a lot of deep people do. And there's been some stuff come out about politicians that is just so outrageous. You know, I mean, like I say in my series here, you can tell by looking at their eyes. Look at Adam Schiff's eyes. Look at this Venman's eyes. Look at their eyes. And you can tell there's a screw loose in there somewhere. These aren't normal eyes. And I don't know if they're on adrenochrome or if they're on enhancers, but it's certainly possible that they're taking these super-duper designer drugs to help make them smarter or memory retention, whatever. I don't know. But they are twisted.
We don't really know how dark it is. We're talking about it now. We've known about it, covered it on the show for a number of years. But you're right, Harry. I don't really know how dark this is. I'm not around those people. I've not been to a ritual. But I think it is possible that people are beginning to maybe recognize some evidence or clues among maybe their friends who they've not known about for many years that they could be involved, such as certain artwork on the wall or, you know, things like that. Maybe they're cluing into some things about their colleagues.
And it seems like every week I get a notice on Facebook of some little girl or some little boy that ended up missing. From their front yard, from the backyard pool, from riding their bike down the street, they end up missing.
Among those missing as well are the researchers looking into the Hollyweird people who have been accused of being involved in these rituals, such as Tom Hanks and Oprah and Ellen DeGeneres, and there's some other people. They've been accused of being involved in this. These researchers like Isaac Cappy and Tracy Twyman go missing. Oh, not go missing. They...
Yeah, Edesius, suicided.
Mm-hmm. We looked at these quotes, getting back to the mind control, Operation Mind Control, and the last paragraph is interesting. The objective of Operation Mind Control during this period has been to take human beings, both citizens of the U.S. and citizens of friendly and unfriendly nations, and transform them into unthinking, subconsciously programmed zombies, motivated without their knowledge and against their wills to perform in a variety of ways in which they would not otherwise perform. This is accomplished through the use of various techniques called by various names, including brainwashing, thought reform, behavior modification, hypnosis, and conditioned reflex therapy.
Mental adjustment is my favorite. Mental adjustment. Has he been mentally adjusted? Yes, yes, he's fully mentally adjusted. And once they've got you, they can train you to do anything. Kill your own folks, no problem.
Why did you include this in your series?
That was what the whole theme was, is how so many of these people are, their minds are gone. They only believe what they're told, and that's their system. Their minds have been controlled, and that's what I want to do, is to show that it was in the makings for a long time. And I didn't make it up. I'm just reading the books to you. That's all I'm doing, is I'm showing it to you, and so people can stop the series, they can stop the video anywhere, and start thinking to themselves, now, I've seen that. I've seen that on TV. I've seen that with Antifa. I've seen that fist. I've seen how these people react. And then you have the major controllers. When somebody's mind has been washed, they don't know it. They don't know that they're brainwashed. I'm fully convinced of that. They don't know that their brains that they've been brainwashed.
Because if they were aware of it objectively, then they would probably try to do something to undo the brainwashing.
Or at least, I'm not talking about seeking counseling, because that's the last thing you want to do, because all the counselors and social workers, they're all part of the loop. They're all in the game. They've all been compromised. They've all got... That's where your deep state starts, is locally with your child protective services, your sociologists, your psychologists, and that's what they teach in the universities to become a sociologist, a psychologist, or whatever. You have to tap dance to their tune, and they're not going to allow you to graduate with that degree unless you are debauched. I'm sorry. If you think that you're going to go, you're doing it for the children or for the families or this or that. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. And I explain that in this video series. People are not elected, but they have a big, big say in what goes on with local politics.
You're talking about AIC here.
No, I'm talking about the sociologists and psychologists. Counselors, family counselors, or when somebody realizes that their mind's been washed, there's nowhere to get counseling. The only thing you can do is go to a friend or a good preacher or someone that you trust or that your family's a friend of the family or something that's going to level with you. Because if you go to a counselor, well, you got to remember that counselor, he got his degree from a college, most likely a liberal arts college. His mind's bent to bend yours back into the same cesspool that you're trying to swim out of. See, that's what I'm saying, is they're trying to put you back where you were, and you're trying to climb out of it. And these people have they feel like they have nowhere to turn, nowhere to go.
Harry, listeners will recall that you were friends with the author Eustace Mullins, the American political writer, author, and biographer. He was a member of the Southeast Bureau editorial staff of Willis Cardo's American Free Press and a contributing editor to the Barnes Review. His books include The Curse of Canaan, A Demonology of History, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, Murder by Injection, The Medical Conspiracy Against America, My Life in Christ, that you referenced, The Rape of Justice, America's Tribunals Exposed.
Curse of Canaan, Rape of Justice are both excellent, excellent books. Federal Reserve, he wrote so much, he's so many books.
The World Order, A Study in the Hegemony of Parasitism. The World Order, Our Secret Rulers. Would you tell listeners, please, about how you met Eustace Mullins?
A guy that worked for me, Frank, who lives down in Sanford, Florida. He worked for me, and he was my roommate. And at my shop in Cape Canaveral, I had a shop in Cape Canaveral and a shop in Melbourne. And I met him through a Patriot group in Titusville one evening, and we just kind of hit it right off. And I didn't know if he was undercover cop. I didn't know what his deal was. I really didn't know. And we became friends, and he was my roommate. And then he said, well, he needs some time off because he's got to drive. He needs to drive Eustace Mullins around Florida for his tour. And so, yeah, here you go. And so I helped, I assisted financially with that tour and with Frank's expenses and Eustace's expenses. And I said, well, sure, man, you can have time off to chauffeur Eustace Mullins around as long as you bring him here to the library a few times and you know put him up at my condo on the ocean here in Cocoa Beach for several nights. And Eustace did. He spent several nights at my condo, and he was at my library several times. He actually borrowed books, and he was a true speed reader. And you know, if you got books that Eustace Mullins wants to read, yeah, I was like, it was like great. So anyway, that's how I met him, and through Frank. And Frank and I, we're still friends. We're still buddies, and we still talk several times a week. And like I say, he's down in Sanford and trying to live through the scam. What do you call it? He calls it the scamdemic, the pandemic, and they've lied so much about this pandemic. How do we know what's true and what's fake? I'm just blowing it all off. I tell people, you know, when you hear that guy on the radio or the TV, ask yourself, has he lied to you before? Has he been wrong about stuff before? And yes, they have. That's the only way to keep this pandemic alive is just keep it in the news. Keep it in the news. People want to go on. What is the next big anti-Trump thing or anti-government thing? Or what is the next town to get a big riot and to burn up? It seems like just you can burn and destroy a Democrat-run city at the drop of a hat these days. It doesn't take much at all. And they say, well, this black guy got murdered by the cops. Well, white guys get murdered by the cops a whole lot more often, but never hear nothing about that.
There was a story that came out recently about how the COVID testing had resulted in so many false positives that it had inflated the numbers, and a recent audit of COVID cases had dropped dramatically the number of cases in Texas and a range of other states, just dropping the number because of the inflated number of cases through false positives. And I haven't heard anything about that except on the alternative media.
Doesn't fit their narrative. And as many numbers as they, we don't know how many people's died of COVID or the flu or nobody's died of anything else. And that was one of my friends on Facebook was saying nobody's died of anything except COVID. You know, so how do we know? But getting back to the series of how they control people through the media, through the news cycles, and tell you what to think and how to think about it. And how the CIA is all behind every bit of it. These are all CIA talking points. And I explain how the CIA and the deep state come together, and I think video number five. And I point out one of the main companies, and I mean, I was onto this last year, and I got a lot of my information from Chip Tatum and his interviews and his series on the Pegasus Files, which you can see on his channel, which is very informative. And that kind of watching that series kind of gave me more encouragement to dig out my old books. And there were still books that I couldn't find that I know I have here somewhere. Probably another 6 inches, I'd go thickness of books, another 6 inches of books that I couldn't even find that I would have liked to have featured or at least had reference to somewhat that I just simply could not find. And one of the companies that I investigated was Palantir. And Palantir was just in the news cycle today.
It sure was. It was reported that Palantir, the Silicon Valley data analytics company, which is a euphemism for data mining shell company, known for taking on controversial work for the U.S. government, filed paperwork last week indicating its intent to go public. The company, which has long shrouded itself in secrecy, reported that it has never turned a profit and that about a third of its revenue came from its three biggest customers. In the first 6 months of 2020, it reported revenue of $481 million, up nearly 50% from a year earlier. And it explains more about their revenue and losses. In the 17 years since it was founded, Palantir Technologies has received financial backing from the CIA and has become one of the most valuable private companies in the U.S.
Now, think about it for a second. They are financed by the CIA. Who finances the CIA?
NQTEL is one of the...
American taxpayer, basically. But yeah, NQTEL is the mothership. And Palantir is just one of the satellites. And they're brazen about it now. They come out and say, yeah, we are a CIA company, and we are taking your blood samples, your DNA, your this or your that. They're obvious with it anymore. And they don't care whether you know it or not. And they're all into biometrics, tight security. I mean, they're recording our phone conversation right now. They record all phone transmissions, emails, Facebook posts, you name it, the whole nine yards. They are the data miners.
And so this led you learning about what Chip Tatum was presenting in his videos. That led you to research what you presented in CCP number 5.
Yeah, I give him credit for that, because I just took it and ran with it and say, holy smokes, it is, because I'm always interested in knowing more about the deep state and how it operates. And then once you see how deep that domain is and how bad they are, it's like unbelievable. And can it be stopped? I don't know. It has to be defunded. They talk about defund the police, but they want a police state. I don't understand it. They want a police state, but they want to defund the police. And now the good thing about COVID-19, the good thing about all of this shutdown and all this, it has wrecked Hollywood. It has destroyed Hollywood. And I like that. I like that a lot. And it's destroyed the liberal athletes, these sports athletes. Do they think that they're going to be able to make that the owners are going to be able to pay out these exorbitant salaries when there's no income at all? They're all going to be out on the streets. Today you're a multi-million dollar NFL linebacker, and next year you're sweeping sidewalks.
I didn't think about that. I doubt if they're going to be sweeping sidewalks, but I know what you're pointing out here. I didn't think about that. That's true. That's a major hit. It seems to me that this is the big reset. They flat out have explained that in their own presentations, Harry. Just to touch back on what you said about the cryptocurrency, in CCP number 5, you get into detail about who is behind cryptocurrency and creating cryptocurrency. Would you fill listeners in, please?
There's so many people out there that think, oh, man, we've got to shift to Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, this and that, this and that. And you look at Bitcoin, it was supposedly invented by an unknown Japanese professor. Nobody knows who he is. And all of a sudden, he comes up with an idea. And the next day, he gets it pushed on all the web, all the everything, and all this stuff. Da-da-da-da-da. Well, guess who invented it? I show it to you right there on the NQTEL website. And who else would know? Who else would know how many transactions Bitcoin had other than the people who control it? And I believe that the clowns just put it out there just to see who would do what with it. They cornered the market, and it's not just Bitcoin. It's every single one of the cryptocurrencies. Who can manage it? Who has the infrastructure? Who has the ability to create that and make people believe that it's real? You know, Bitcoin has got to be the ultimate. Well, between Bitcoin and gold, those are the ultimate fiat currencies, you know. And people say, oh, the price of gold is going up. It's past 2,000. Well, go try to sell your gold, an ounce of your gold for $2,000. Go try to sell it. Oh, they'll sell it to you, but you can't. They're not going to buy it back from you at that price, that's for sure.
Harry, Eustace Mullins writes in My Life in Christ that you present in this video series, quote, one of the CIA's principal functions has been to expose, misdirect, and annihilate anti-communist movements all over the world. Capitol Hill observers consider the CIA to be made up of three groups: alcoholics at the top, sexual degenerates, and communists. Some executives fall into all three categories, others fit into one or more. One executive deposits $5,000 a month in a Swiss bank payments from the Soviet Fourth Bureau. Another, who squirreled away enormous sums in the past 5 years, has had his suicide arranged by CIA colleagues who felt themselves shortchanged.
Yes.
The CIA administers lie detector test to prospective employees in order to establish the degree of sexual deviation. The purpose of this is to measure the deviant's attitude towards his own degeneracy.
His own debauchery, yes.
If he is cool and arrogant about it, the CIA immediately hires him because they know that hardened deviants make the best killers, a fact long known to the mafia. If he's nervous and guilty about it, the CIA refuses to employ him because he will be of no use to them.
That's right. And I can imagine, you know, an interview might go like this. So how old were you when you killed your first puppy? I was 6 years old and I cut my puppy's head off. And it was just great. I loved it. It was just wonderful. Well, let's give him a raise. Let's put him over here. Let's put him in behind this desk over here in this department. that's how it would probably go, man. And they probably see it, you know. I mean, because I'm sure all those interviewers are psychologically trained to get to the core, the mind stem, or the mindset of these people, and to bring out their degeneracy in the open so that they can see it and analyze it and see if they can work it into their agenda.
I understand that. I also understand to be involved in these covert operations, they're definitely testing for this level of, to manage your own conscience and to not be this bleeding heart type of person that's going to be a weak link when you see blood or you see maybe children being killed. And then your liability, but this goes further than that.
Yeah, there's even I think it was some video or something where this guy was actually giving directions on how to tear the skin off of someone's face while they were alive to get more adrenaline in the bloodstream before that person's butchered. Things like that, we don't understand. We don't live for that. But that level of debauchery is rewarded to a certain degree by certain people.
Yeah, it's difficult to get into that realm. And my comment to that is we still don't really know what was on the laptop of
Anthony Weiner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't we know? Is it that level of debauchery between Huma and Hillary and their cohorts? Quite possibly. But I would be willing to bet you that that Donald Trump knows what's on it, and we see that that politicians like Mr. Biden, Ms. Pelosi, and stuff, their children are involved up to their next also. That's where they keep it in the family line. And Nancy Pelosi's father, he was what, mayor of Baltimore? Look at Baltimore. Look at what a sham city that is. He helped break that city to pieces. And that's what they do. That's what these people do. And they do it generation after generation. And then they always blame it on somebody else. Always blame it on somebody that had nothing to do with it.
A lot of this evidence is swept into the memory hole generation after generation. And I think now more, especially in the last few years, people are certainly seeing what's going on around them. So hopefully things start to shift, but it's not without pain inflicted on society right now.
And then when I started putting a lot of this together, I was going through making notes concerning the movies that the CIA puts out. And back in the 60s, a lot of the movies that they were putting out had men hitting on their wives, hitting on their girlfriends, I mean, slapping them around, giving them black eyes. And it was just like teaching the men of the 60s here in America that it's okay to slap your wife around. It's okay to knock her out or to this or that. She's going to love you anyway. And then the actress wife always comes across loving and this and that. It all worked. The women themselves figured that oh, it's okay for me to get hit. It was just horrible, terrible.
That's a really interesting video that you made, I really didn't connect those dots, but it's really obvious, and you do show that. That's very, very important. We only have a few minutes left here. I want to say that another book that you went in deep with was Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, and we won't be able to get into the Roundtable and Macmillan Publishing, but listeners, it's worth checking out on Harry Hubbard's YouTube channel. And the authors of these books consistently show the reader the methods of control used against the population of this country and other countries, from mind control techniques to abolishing true Christianity to the subtle indoctrination into revolutionary political views, all of which can form the maelstrom of chaos, allowing easy access for total control. And it's a reliable old tactic that might be getting more expensive to deploy nowadays, but very, very effective nonetheless. And Harry, one of your books you mentioned is titled Secret and Suppressed, Banned Ideas and Hidden History by Jim Keith. Mm-hmm. And its description reads, there are two ways of looking at the world. You can take the morning paper at face value and believe the world oscillates between the dumb show of left and right wing, or you can begin to question this national hypnosis. It's a guidebook to alternative views of contemporary events and world history. This book confronts the reader with disquieting revelations on mind control, secret societies, media disinformation, cults, and elite cabals. The hard evidence supplied by many of these articles is startling. Other entries veer into the twilight realm of paranoia, speculation, and horror. If you believe that ignorance is bliss, then Secret and Suppressed is sure to make you very unhappy. And Harry, I just want to thank you for being on the show. The listeners very much appreciate the fascinating research you bring to the airwaves, and this show was no exception. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, and we can do some more shows on some other talking points too. Like I said, I'm kind of taking a break from making videos because it seems like every time I release a video, I just lose a bunch of my subscribers, and I'm locked into the AI, and people say, "Oh, I'm getting shadow banned." Well, I've been shadow banned for years, but there's a lot to this deep domain that we haven't touched on. The one thing that I would love to come back on and talk about is just all of the CIA movies and how they train their agents by using these movies. Okay, if you step out of line, this is what happens to you, the same guy here in this movie. See, that's how they do it. That's how they do it. They produced these things. And they'll show, how many times have you seen in a movie where somebody or a secret agent comes and pushes somebody over a balcony? They're blatant about it.
That's certainly in a lot of films. And, okay, really good point. Absolutely. The listeners have actually, I've gotten a few emails about going into a film analysis, especially on this particular subject. So definitely that would be great. Well, Harry, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. We'll do it again.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit InOtherNewsRadio.com for archives and more information about the guests.